Hello and welcome to Conversations from the Adoption and Fostering podcast. In this episode, I speak to adoptive grandma Sue, and she shares her experience of witnessing her daughter, son-in-law and granddaughter go through the adoption process through assessment, matching and then introductions and interplacing. As always, if you've got experience of adoption, fostering or special guardianship from any perspective and would like to share that on the podcast, please get in touch through our Facebook or Twitter page, or you can email us at aandfpodcast@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Sue and I'm granny to two grandchildren, a girl who is five and a little boy who is two. My granddaughter is my biological granddaughter and my grandson is through adoption. So it's only the last year and a half really that I was sort of made aware of the wonderful world of adoption. Before then, I knew very, very little. I realise that now. But it's only really in the last year and a half that we've suddenly been opened up to this amazing new life.
Often I think that grandparents, you're a big part of the picture, but you're not the main players. So can you tell me a little bit about the sort of how you became a grandparent through adoption and kind of how that was put to you and maybe your initial reactions and, you know, or and maybe even your previous kind of understanding and knowledge of adoption and how that influenced what you thought?
Yeah, of course. My daughter and my son-in-law are quite young to adopt. I think it was commented on by, you know, in the process. They're in their mid-20s and they'd already had my granddaughter. But, you know, for whatever reason, unfortunately, my daughter had a few miscarriages, quite a number. And it got to the point where really, you know, one night, and she's not particularly emotional normally, but one night she just sat there and basically said, "Mum, I just cannot do this anymore." They knew they wanted or would love to have more children. And it was a very short time after. I was just in their lounge playing with my granddaughter. My daughter was sitting on the floor and she just said, "Oh, Mum, just to let you know, we're just looking into the very beginning. We're just looking into the prospect of adoption." I was utterly emotional. It just was the most beautiful feeling. I just got very tearful. I just, you know, hugged and it was just lovely. I think it was a little bit possibly of relief for them, knowing what they'd been through and knowing that it was a positive step forward in that way, and just really exciting, really, really exciting, and to the unknown. It was like the beginning of an adventure.
So had you had any sort of contact with anyone who'd been adopted or had adopted previous to that?
Yeah, but not close. Family or friends. You know, I have friends who've been adopted, you know, my age, friends who have adopted, but being very, very much on the edge, thinking, you know, how lovely, and listening to, you know, certain things that they've spoken about, but never, ever really related to that or had to relate to it in any way, which actually, looking back, I wish I had asked more questions and actually wanted to know more, because, you know, from the experience that, you know, we're having and we've had, it's just sharing it is part of the beauty of it.
Yeah, so obviously then your daughter and son-in-law, then they started the process, and obviously observing the process from outside, we on the podcast, we hear a lot of people sort of share their experience of going through it. What was it like watching someone go through it? What was your perspective on that?
I was in absolute awe of it all, if I'm honest. I couldn't believe. I didn't ask questions. I very much stayed on the outside in the way I felt it was very personal to them, but made it very obvious that I was there whenever needed, even if it was just for babysitting for my granddaughter, for whenever they had to go and do whatever they had to do. You know, they did quite a lot of training, obviously. And I just said yes whenever I was asked, unless there was a reason I couldn't. They obviously, it was so personal to them, and I appreciate, and I could see when they'd come in from certain meetings or training, how grueling possibly it had been. And I didn't feel it was my place to ask questions, but they obviously shared what they wanted to share. I think I was mainly involved and helped really with my granddaughter, because I felt that was something I could do. Yeah. Because I felt it was something less for them to have to think about as well. And so, you know, I was very involved in the whole sort of looking after her, and the conversations that we had. I mean, she was only four, going on four, actually. She's probably three, going on four. And the way that the social worker, who became such a close member almost of the family, the way that she actually interacted and the relationship with my granddaughter, it was just the most natural thing in the world for my granddaughter, knowing by the time my grandson arrived that it was going to happen. It was just the most natural, lovely, exciting thing in the world. And honestly, I actually took a leaf out of her book so many times, because it was just all fine and she was prepared. I remember my daughter saying to me at the very beginning, "Mum, the social worker has said to us that my granddaughter is key in all of this." This was at the very beginning.
Right.
And it was so important that she was fully prepared and aware and ready for the arrival of a baby brother or a baby sister. Mm-hmm. So the conversations that we would have, me and my granddaughter, were just beautiful. And I actually probably learned more from those in terms of where they were at and what was happening in her own little way.
Yeah.
You know, she'd be riding a bike in the park and she was like, "Oh, Granny, look, my bike's too small for me. I'm going to give it to my baby brother or my baby sister. Do you know I'm getting a baby brother or a baby sister? My social worker, the name, is finding me a baby brother." Or and it was just the most natural thing and the most lovely thing in the world. I think that's where I realised just how beautiful this was going to be. And it is. It has its challenges, like any natural parenting in terms of biological children comes, you know, but I think with adoption, there are a few more, when I say instructions and guidance, than when you have your biological children.
Yeah. Had you given any thought initially to that sort of the impact on your granddaughter? I mean, had there been any anxiety? Initially, you were quite like, "Oh, that's fantastic." But was there, when you'd sort of gone home and sort of thought about it, well, had there been any sort of cautionary thoughts about adoption?
Honestly, no.
I feel like I'm digging for something there. I'll stop.
Okay.
It's okay. I'm just teasing you. Don't worry.
Okay.
But no, I mean, I guess it's just you are in, by nature, it seems like you're an incredibly optimistic individual. So is that a fair assessment of you?
I am. Right. But I think it was just the whole support throughout. It was COVID, so everything pretty much had stopped. When they first started looking into the adoption process, COVID hadn't hit. It was probably, say, the October, November before COVID hit. And I was able, with, you know, my son and some members of the family, to actually go on a training course, which was just invaluable and just so amazing for us to actually get like an insight to actually what my daughter and son-in-law were actually going through,
right,
and the support that we could offer and how we could help. That was amazing. But then obviously through COVID, all that stopped. And so I think it was a very different process for everybody in terms of, it was all, wasn't it, online and impersonal. So I think it was a case of basically winging it a lot of the time. And actually my grandson, you know, did come to us during that time. So it was quite a strange one, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's someone once said to me that there's no such thing as a straightforward adoption. So I think that everyone, you know, everything's wonky. But what was it like being with other at that meeting where there was other friends and family, what was it like being with that group of people? What were the conversations there?
It was so lovely. There weren't many of us. There was probably, let me think, about five, when I say units, you know, there was me and my son, and then maybe another to be granny and granddad.
Yeah.
And it was a real mix of ages and, you know, one couple, their daughter had chosen to adopt over trying to have children. Obviously, I'd come from my daughter having, you know, a number of miscarriages, having a child already. We'd all come from different aspects. And it was about 4 hours. It was quite humbling, actually, to be part of it. I learned a lot about myself, and you could feel it. It wasn't a case of what you learned. You weren't there to learn. You were there to be. It was almost like they fed you so that you were extra ready and a bit more confident in being able, in knowing what's coming, what could possibly happen, and having that extra confidence to know how to support my daughter and my son-in-law.
I know, obviously, you're a very bright, optimistic person, but was there any sense of just a little bit of apprehension, thinking, oh, what are some of these problems that my sort of daughter and son-in-law might face?
Absolutely. You know, we looked at it over the course of the 4 hours. We did a lot, and a little bit was fun, a bit was chat, a bit was watching, doing. But there were, you know, there were case studies, and they were very, very sad, you know, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And we sort of read and chatted, and it was almost like in that 4 hours, you got the whole feeling, all the emotions in that session, but you came out of it just feeling, well, incredibly honoured, really, to be part of it.
Right. And no sense of apprehension for your little family.
Do you know what? There wasn't, because I just felt, and at that point as well, because it was quite far in to the process, the support that they were getting and still are was mind-blowing. And yeah, and I could see it was hard on occasion. You know, they were working full-time. They were coming in at 10 p.m. on a night after work, after training. They were on the knees. And it was really hard at times, but overall, and, you know, and I know when they were waiting, you know, for matching panel and all these hurdles that you have to go through, you know, I could sense the tension, but all I could do really was just sort of be there, drop chocolate and grab my granddaughter and, you know, just do the things that you do just to help as best you could.
Of course.
But in terms of what was ahead, I never honestly ever felt, oh my gosh, what if, because I knew that there would be somebody professionally that would be there for them.
And of course, you know your daughter as well. So I guess you have a trust and you know her, what she's able to do and capable of. Well,
absolutely,
you know, you're allowed to big up your daughter as well if you want, you know?
Yeah, well, again, I'm in awe of her. She knows that though.
Then you, as you say, you move, the process moved on, and you've kind of walked with them through the assessment process, and it comes to that you know, they're approved, which, great milestone. What was it like waiting for children to be identified, or was that a quick process, or
quick process, but again, I didn't really ask many questions. It just didn't seem, it was just very much their thing. And I wasn't saying, oh, where are you at? What are you doing? I just didn't feel that, similar almost to somebody who was maybe going for counselling. There's that line where you're there, but you don't cross it and pry. And it was very much like that. Don't get me wrong. They did share a lot, but it was when they wanted to more than me asking.
Yeah.
But it was nice just to be, obviously, you know, kept in the loop, knowing what was coming up, celebrating each time something was, you know, there to be celebrated. And it was very, very quick. I know that when they did get to matching panel, which was on Zoom, they said that they were the youngest and the quickest that they'd ever had in the process. And then it wasn't long before they had their, you know, introductions, and he was with us.
And that's an unusual time. And I've speak to a lot of adopters, and they talk about sort of, you know, the family are asked to sort of pull away slightly and to kind of allow families to, you know, newly formed families to have their bubble. So was that, were you asked to do that? And was that made sense of for you?
Yeah, I was all, I'd read, Molly had given me books as well as, you know, the training that I'd been on, and I'd watched various sort of, you know, she'd send me links and blogs. And so I was trying to be as prepared as I could be. When it actually came to the introductions, that actually was also in the time when the world really had stopped.
Yeah.
Obviously, certain things like this were allowed to go on safely. So, you know, various people isolated, etc. So I knew, I expected not really to meet my grandson properly for quite a while from everything I'd read and been told. And I get that. I understood that completely, especially, I suppose, with it being the COVID, when nobody was supposed to be doing anything anyway. So we actually thought, you know, this could actually almost work in their favour, because it does give that family unit when everyone's working from home and you're together. And so, but because obviously my granddaughter was only four at the time, I actually was quite heavily involved in those introductions in that fortnight, simply really purely to be there for her. And so the social worker and my daughter and everybody had put the plan together of the introductions in terms of, you know, what was going, when they were going, and then when they were going to spend a bit of time at their house and all that. And in among, I was there with my granddaughter. She was coming to me mainly. And then I got the days and the times when I was to drop her off at introductions. I didn't go in, obviously, you know, I just dropped her off. And so they came out and I pick up, and that, but it changed. It was wonderful. It was on my pin board, and every single day I was putting, you know, a pen through it, because oops, tomorrow, actually, now we're not doing that. We're going to do this. Fine, whatever. So I was very privileged to be part of that. Hmm. But I didn't expect really to meet my grandson. But I did when they actually brought him home, which was the best day of my life. And I'd got my granddaughter at my house. It was the day they were bringing my grandson home. And I just expected one of them to message me and say, we're just going to go, you know, pick my granddaughter up and we'll bring her back to ours. And instead, I got the message that was, we're just going to walk across to yours with my little grandson. He'll have a nap on the way over and pick my granddaughter up. And I was like, amazing. And so I didn't know whether they'd come in. I had no idea. And so by chance, my granddaughter and I had done a bit of baking anyway that morning and a few bits and bats. And it was just beautiful, Al. It was beautiful. They just literally came in. He woke up from his nap and my granddaughter got the buns, put them on the coffee table. He started as he meant to go on, eating. And we had maybe an hour together and they went. It was precious. So that was very lovely. I was very, very, very honoured to be part of that.
Yeah, so it sounds like, it sounds idyllic, and given the circumstances of the world at that time, quite remarkable, really.
I think that's what made it even more special, that it really was just completely unexpected. But after that time, again, you know, I wasn't sort of in the faces, or I was just there if needed. And again, really, I think perhaps more for my granddaughter, simply because that continuity of things just flowing for her, that her life's not suddenly upside down, like any biological baby coming into the family.
Yeah.
You know, you just try and keep it going, don't you, just to make it easy, easy for everybody.
So how's it been seeing this family grow? What's 18 months now, is it, that they've been together?
I could get quite emotional actually. It's just beautiful. I know I keep saying beautiful, but it is, don't get me wrong. Oh my gosh, I know they are finding it so hard at times. But ultimately the joy, you know, that they are getting, and the milestones and the little quirks that you get to know, and you know, it's still a learning curve for them. I know that for sure, you know, from what I hear and what I see. And even yesterday, you know, I popped around and, you know, sort of took a couple of little magazines in my basket, a bit of food and what have you, and they just, you know, straight in the basket. And my grandson grabbed his little comic out of the basket, as did my granddaughter. And actually, you know, was just going through it. And my daughter just said, oh my goodness, he's actually looking at the comic. And that was a first. And it's just, you know, the more settled he becomes in certain ways, you think, oh, that's amazing. But then actually he's becoming more unsettled in other ways that he had been settled in. So it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? It really is. But they're very, I follow their lead, you know, when it's tough, I just try and be there. I've actually just been able, I'm very, very thankful that I've just been able to stop work. And it's the biggest gift for me, but I am so thankful that I can be there now for them. We don't live far apart. And just to be able to spend time, you know, with my granddaughter and my grandson, rather than just having to do it, you know, which I know I've done for, you know, a number of years. When you do work, you have to, don't you? You know, it's evenings, yeah. It's weekends. I just feel incredibly lucky right now that I actually now can just say, can I please? And just be able to get really involved in. Just this week, I took my grandson to a play centre, and it was actually a wonderful group that my daughter had said, would you like to take him? And it was actually run by the adoption services. And so we met for a couple of hours, and, you know, the other children, it was, you know, preschool, and the other children were there as well. And it was just a lovely time for them to just play and eat and for us to chat. And there was nowhere else in the world I wanted to be other than there. It was just wonderful. So I look forward to being able to do lots more of that.
I'm laughing because my last question really seems ridiculous given in light of everything that you've said, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Is that sometimes people, maybe it's, you can answer it sort of for people who are listening, maybe, is that people often, this question that I think everyone has is, you know, could I ever love a child who wasn't biologically linked to me the same way as I could? So as a grandmother, grandma, granny, which one are you?
Granny.
So can you love an adopted child the same as you can love a biological child?
You can't even answer that in words, because it's just a feel. I can't explain it. It's just, there is absolutely no difference, you know, whether I have my granddaughter, my grandson, that it's just natural, you know, it's amazing. Admittedly, you know, I don't know, under different circumstances, maybe if he was maybe quite a bit older, it may be a little more difficult, the interaction, the whole. But certainly, there's just no, that there is absolutely no difference whatsoever.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective and your views and a bit of your experience. I really appreciate it. So look after yourself, and thank you very much.
Thank you.